Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Today, I'd like to talk to you about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism that is growing in the United States of America. But even though I will talk about the USA, these events find their parallels in other countries as well, in Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada. And I'd like to address the issue insofar as both the left and the right is concerned. Let's start with the events in New York City. Newsmax wrote on November 4, Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani has been elected mayor of New York City. The earth-shaking result makes Mamdani the first Muslim mayor in the city's history. His victory cements the left's grip on the city's Democrat base and signals a national shift in urban politics. But critics warn his expensive spending plans could drive out businesses and accelerate New York's fiscal decline. Mamdani ran on an unabashedly socialist platform, promising fare-free buses, universal child care, a city-run grocery store in each borough, a $30 minimum wage by 2030, and new taxes on corporations and high earners. He has been branded a socialist and communist, even Marxist, by many critics, including President Donald Trump, who labeled Mamdani a 100% communist lunatic in a June 24 post on Truth Social. Trump also said Monday on Truth Social that it was highly unlikely he would contribute federal funds other than the very minimum as required to New York City should Mamdani be elected mayor. Almost 800,000 New Yorkers said they would flee the city if Mamdani won. 9% of New Yorkers would definitely leave the city, which has a population of roughly 8.5 million. I would also like to add that many have already left New York City, quite a few of them the rich and the wealthy. It also raises a big question regarding the city's Jewish community, the largest in the world outside of Israel. Anti-Israel politics have been a driving force in Mamdani's life. He has repeated his contention that he would use NYPD resources to arrest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu following the International Criminal Court's warrant over alleged war crimes in the Gaza Strip. Political analysts said Mamdani's victory could deepen the ideological divide within the Democratic Party and test whether New York can sustain a socialist experiment amid rising debt and public safety fears. The point I like to emphasize right now, it's going to be a shift in the Democratic Party toward the radical left. Not that they all become radical leftists, but it's going to be a shift towards it, and anti-Semitism will rise in that party. The Jerusalem Post wrote on November 4, just prior to Mamdani's confirmed victory. Mamdani has been called a raging anti-Semite, a terrorist sympathizer, an ardent socialist, a polarizing figure, language that reflects why the campaign has become a global story. Mamdani's own words have amplified concerns. In 2021, he said anti-Israel BDS, which means boycott, divestment, and sanctions activism, were the crux of the reason he joined the Democratic Socialists of America. And in October, he wrote that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has launched a genocidal war, framing Israel's actions in the most extreme moral terms. If he wins, and of course by now he has, this is a clear message for the Democratic Party. Anti-Semites can lead. They are no longer in the margins. They are no longer in the margins. They become more and more mainstream within the Democratic Party. This means that being a supporter of a boycott of Israel, not just West Bank goods, but also sovereign Israel, is normal. This means the globalization, the Intifada, Palestinian uprising against Israel, occupation for the West Bank and Gaza Strip, as he calls it, is a relevant call for destroying the only Jewish state in the world. If Mamdani wins, this is a very bad situation for Jews, for Israel, and for America. And still, many Jews, we are told about 31%, voted for him. Now, Trump calls them stupid, but they voted for him. How can Jews vote for a guy who is clearly anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic? It reminds me of the situation in Germany when Hitler came to power. And many Jews voted for him. And many bankers voted for him. Why? Well, because they said, oh, that is just hyperbole. Hitler doesn't really mean that, what he is saying. He just says it in order to get political gains. How wrong they were. Now, Hitler was called a national socialist. Let's never forget that. Here we see something very similar. And the Jews who voted for him are very naive, to say the least. Now, that's the situation on the left. Now, what is the situation on the right? Wyatt wrote on November 4, Nick Fuentes, a white nationalist known for his deeply anti-Semitic, racist, and misogynist worldview, that means hatred, dislike, or prejudice against women, just might be tearing the Republican Party apart. The schism was triggered last Tuesday when former Fox News host Tucker Carlson released an in-depth interview with Fuentes, the leader of the so-called America First movement, who has denied the Holocaust and who has praised Hitler. During the interview, Fuentes waxed anti-Semitic about the threat apparently posed by organized Jewry in America, while Carlson slammed figures like Senator Ted Cruz and former President George W. Bush as being Christian Zionists who have been seized by his brain virus. Carlson was criticized by, among others, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee for giving Fuentes a platform, and the argument kicked into overdrive after Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation, a high-profile conservative think tank, condemned those attacking Carlson as a venomous coalition. Now, in the meantime, he has apologized for these comments. Roberts' comments triggered a massive split on the right, with everyone from prominent podcasters and influencers to senators and other lawmakers weighing in to attack or defend Roberts and Carlson. The debate continued to rage over the weekend, as many claimed the situation was a reflection of a broader concern about a perceived rise in anti-Semitism within the MAGA movement. Now, after the interview, Fuentes wrote, "No to Benjamin Netanyahu, no to genocide and ethnic cleansing, no to the Christ-hating Talmud, no to Greater Israel, no to our Jewish oligarchy." In recent months, Fuentes' follower numbers on platforms like X and the alternative video sharing platform Rumble have skyrocketed. And The Wrap added on November 5, Tucker Carlson's decision to interview 27-year-old white nationalist Nick Fuentes for over 2 hours last week sent shockwaves through conservative media circles. But Carlson's failure to seriously challenge Fuentes does not seem to have hurt his popularity. The YouTube post of the interview has 5.1 million viewers. Now, this was November 3. In the meantime, it got much higher. His X post with a 2-hour conversation, 17.3 million. But again, this was only November 3. And so the New York Times on November 3 drew an interesting, provocative comparison. They said, Charlie Kirk, the conservative influencer who was assassinated in September, and Nick Fuentes, the young Hitler-loving white nationalist at the center of a growing schism on the right, were bitter enemies. Fuentes despised Kirk for his support of Israel. After Kirk was murdered, Fuentes continued his attacks on Turning Point. In such an atmosphere, one might think that Fuentes' stock on the right would have fallen. Instead, it's risen higher than ever, revealing a seemingly unstoppable ratchet of radicalization on the right. Jews are running society. Women need to shut up, he said in March. Blacks need to be imprisoned for the most part. His sneering, proudly transgressive attitude has made him a hero to legions of mostly young men who resent all forms of political gatekeeping. All of this leads to the inevitable elevation of Fuentes, Kirk's foe, into his successor. Now, there are a world dividing the two, but we are here talking about popularity. And here comes Fuentes, an anti-Semite, who is becoming more and more popular within the right. So you have both the left and the right becoming more and more anti-Semitic. And that is very interesting and telling in the light of biblical prophecy. Now let me just say that anti-Semitism is completely and totally against biblical teaching. Jesus was a Jew. He came from the house of Judah. He said, salvation is from the Jews. He said that in the Gospel according to John. The New Testament was initially completely Jewish. All the original apostles were Jews. And we also read that in the future, Christ, when he has returned, people will ask the Jews to lead them to the Messiah. Why? Because Jesus is going to rule in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David, a Jew. And Jews and Gentiles will repent, as we read in the Bible, and they will live side by side in harmony and peace. Now that is then, after Christ has returned, but the Bible also tells us what's going to happen prior to Christ's return. We read that all nations will gather to battle against Jerusalem, and many will try to destroy the Jewish people so that the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. But God will not allow this to happen. He will come to defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as you read in the book of Zechariah. I would say we are getting closer and closer to these events. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.